5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, is Producer Dodds.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, we were recording this podcast a little bit earlier than usual, so I'm a little bit snoozy, but I will try my utmost to be up-spirited.
I'm not usually a morning person, but I'm quite sprightly this morning, which is unusual. We're on episode 40.
I know, nice big round number. I feel like we should celebrate when we get to 50.
Yes, we should. I'll think of something.
Or maybe just stop. Nice big round number.
But yeah, thank you so much for listening to us for 40 episodes. I feel very privileged and touched that you have spent your time listening to Dodds and I.
And it's growing, isn't it? It's all going in the right direction.
It's all going in the right direction. Everything feels like it's got momentum, which is nice. I'm very excited about this week's episode. We've got some great things to cover. First thing we're going to do is obviously jump into the news, as we always do. Mm-hmm. And we're back with some consistency. So I hope you're happy that we're back for the third week
on the trot. We promised for the second time we were going to be consistent.
And we have fulfilled on that promise.
So we might take a break.
First thing that I want to touch on is that it has been a bad week for Instagram. A few things have happened. A couple of those we're going to touch on. Madonna's come out and publicly slammed the platform. She told The Sun that you get caught up in comparing yourselves to other people and asked, will it make you more popular? Will it make you more successful? And that we are slaves to winning others' approval. She refuses to bend a knee to convention and what society expects of her as a woman. Madonna is one of many celebrities that's come out and publicly questioned Instagram and the platform's sort of impact on your own mental health and the way you view yourself. So interesting for her to come out and say that, and I'm sure she won't be the last. Next thing I want to talk about is the fact that there's been protests outside the Instagram HQ over their nudity rules. Dozens of adult performers have picketed outside Instagram's Silicon Valley headquarters over guidelines about photos containing nudity. The inconsistency of the rules, they say, has led to hundreds of thousands of account suspensions and it's impeding on their livelihoods. So Instagram is obviously a place where adult performers are earning extra cash through the platform, but their new nudity rules, being a little bit inconsistent in their eyes, is preventing them from earning that money. It's just funny to think of a load of adult performers outside the Silicon Valley HQ having a protest, isn't it? We talk a lot about influencers on this podcast, and this week we've got one good use of influencer marketing and one sort of questionable use of influencer marketing. Let's start with the bad one. A girl has gone away, taken lots of photos, loads of content of going away, and then she's got engaged on a trip. Sounds quite standard, normal thing to happen.
Congratulations.
She acted all surprised. So all of her Instagram followers were obviously following this journey as she went on this amazing trip and then got engaged, which is lovely, lovely to see. But it turns out that it was all pre-planned. And there's been a deck that's popped up on the internet that she sent out to brands asking for sponsorship for this trip. So she obviously knew that this trip was going to happen. She obviously knew that she was going to get engaged and she wanted brands to sponsor it.
She's been called out quite a bit, hasn't she, on social media?
She has, and quite rightly too, I think. I don't think it's on. I think there's a lot of people follow influencers because they want to follow their life and they want it to be genuine and authentic, which is what we talk about a lot on this podcast. And when someone is using their platform and their followers to try and fund life moments, I just think it's a little bit tacky to me, to be honest.
It kind of shines a bit of a negative light on influencer marketing, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Like, same as last week, that girl who couldn't sell the T-shirts.
I just think it's a poor way of doing something, I think. As soon as you start getting brand sponsorship for life moments like that, like, who are you doing it for? Are you getting engaged for yourself? Are you getting engaged for the gram? Don't know. Hopefully it's real love and it'll last forever. And congratulations.
Yeah, and we're both really happy for you.
Really? The example of influencer marketing that we have seen that has been done well, I don't know if you saw this, it was a great piece of content. It was a father and a son, young son, sat on a sofa watching the TV, and the boy was like babbling away and they were having a conversation it was a real conversation.
That made me feel good inside.
It's so funny. The kid's so cute. So cute. And one very smart advertiser, Denny's, has jumped on it. They've noticed that that is a thing. And just 9 days later, for Father's Day, they have invited the father and son to go to Denny's and to film some content in the restaurant. Super smart. It's a great example of a brand using something that has gone obviously viral and is trending and has tapped into some emotion with people, but using it in a way that also brings the brand in an authentic way. We saw it also with Oreos and Game of Thrones when they built the whole of King's Landing using the Oreos. And it's just a nice example of how to use a trending topic in a way that links with your brand rather than just putting out one video or repurposing the meme. Our main story on this week's podcast, and it is some breaking news for you, that Facebook can now detect anxiety. The University of Pennsylvania have been doing some research and they have found that they can detect 21 different types of conditions through your content that you post, including anxiety, depression, and psychosis. Absolutely incredible and super fascinating. What they've done is they can have a look at what you're posting, they can have a look at the times you're posting it and the types of content that you're putting out, and they can then see whether you are experiencing any form of mental health condition. So if you're posting late at night talking about alcohol, they can detect alcohol abuse in your feed, which I think is absolutely incredible. Obviously going to expand on this research and they're going to keep looking at it. And for me, I think it's just a brilliant step in mental health awareness. Knowing Facebook as I do and having been down there and spoken to the policy team there, I know that this is something that's incredibly important to Facebook at the moment. And it's something that they're working on in terms of how to make the platform better for everybody's mental health and well-being. They are really focusing on well-being initiatives, how to make the platform better, how to give people advice on how long to be on there. So watch this space, because if this piece of research can match up with Facebook's policy team, we could have something really special that comes out of Facebook and social media. Do you think that this is a step in the right direction or an invasion of privacy? We're actually working with Facebook and some charities at the moment because we recognise that social media can have an impact and it is where people spend their time. There is an increase in young suicides and people self-harming. And what we want to do is make sure that there's the right place for people to contact when they need help. We know that people don't use phones anymore. We know that they're not going to pick up the phone and ring a helpline. So what we're looking to create is a thing called Project Perry, which enables people to get in touch in real time and get the help they need when they need it the most through social media platforms, the place where their attention is in a moment when they really need it. And for us, we're incredibly excited and very proud to be part of something that will hopefully change the way that mental health support is given to the world. Moving on to our admission submission for the week. This week it is from a female aged 27 and the subject reads, I shouldn't say this, but who counsels the counsellor? I'm intrigued by this already. Katie, I've been working in management for a few years now and within the last 6 months I've really felt a weight on my shoulders. When people tell me their problems, I love it, I want to help and I'm touched they can confide in me, but I find myself having sleepless nights, worrying and it's affecting my work. How do you cope with it all? So, great question. It's something that I have really had to find a solution and support network for. Support is incredibly important, whether that's the people in work that you can trust or outside of the work with your friends and family and loved ones. As a person in a position of leadership and someone who cares, which is what I do, I care quite a lot about the people that work here and their lives and whether they're happy and how I can make things better for them. I tend to take a lot on because I know that it impacts work. If you're going through something, whether that's in your personal life or your work life, it's going to impact the output of what you're doing. So I spend a hell of a lot of time with people trying to figure out how to make things better. But in doing that, and especially when your life is busy and you're dealing with your own stuff, you're then adding on top of your own problems with other people's problems, which then can then make life feel pretty difficult, which I think is what happened to me when I was off for those couple of weeks. I had quite a big thing that I was trying to deal with, and then adding on top of that were other people's issues. And the one thing that I really struggled with was I just couldn't deal with other people's problems at the same time. And in leadership positions, we are all in the same boat. And the way that I've dealt with it is to find my support system, find the people I can trust, know who I can sort of vent to and let off to and talk things through with, but also go and see some professional help. Doesn't have to be all the time, but just speak to someone who knows, who can help and who can help you work out the best way to respond to something. And counselling for me has been so beneficial. At Social Chain, we take mental health incredibly seriously. We offer flexible working. We offer yoga. We offer therapy sessions for people. And the newest initiative that we have decided on is to give everyone an opt-out of mental health therapy. It's not that we think that everybody needs to see a therapist. We know there's different degrees of mental health support that people need and require at different times. But we know the benefits of getting that mental health support at any level. So everyone across the business, from interns to Steve and Dom, the founders of the company, are in this scheme and you have to opt out if you don't want it. We know from our research that people think that it's still a bit of a taboo to sign up to get mental health support. So we've just automatically signed everyone up. And if anyone really feels like they don't want to have it, they can opt out. But we are extremely excited to see how we can help people and improve their lives and just make things a little bit easier for them. So I hope that helps. If you want to leave an admission submission, please go to our website, which is www.katieleeson.com, and we will get back to you in the future shows. So admission submissions are where you can leave anonymous questions and seek advice from us on topics ranging from anything to do with work, anything to do with your life, any dilemmas that you're facing. Please send them in and we will respond to you on the podcast. Now it is time for my own personal admission submission. And this week it is, I shouldn't say this, but it's good for business. I want to talk to you about personal branding. So Dodds and I have been working on Katie the brand. It still makes me feel really uncomfortable.
Katie the superstar.
We've been working on Katie the brand for how long?
Seven months.
7 months.
You lucky, lucky people.
And I've talked a lot about the reasons of why we do this podcast and the reasons why we do the personal branding, but I will reiterate that for anyone new listening. It's not to boost my ego, even though I did get stopped in a restaurant on Saturday. My friend went to the toilet, this lady came and sat down and she said, I was looking at you. You work at Social Chain. I said, yeah, I do, yeah. She said, I was looking at you thinking you were a celebrity. I was trying to figure out who you were.
How does she know you from the podcast?
And then she stopped and she said, and then I realised, but you are a celebrity in your world. And I was like,
ah! Oh, that's so creepy.
That's so creepy. So no, she'd see
it's
me
nice.
Talk.
I hope she's listening.
I hope she's listening. Thank you, because you gave me a massive ego boost. My friend came back from the toilet. I was like, you'll never guess what. I've been spotted.
So just to reiterate, this is for Katie's ego.
It's totally for my ego. But no, it's not. She'd seen me talk. And then obviously I think she'd seen some LinkedIn stuff. But it was very nice. But that's not the reason that we do it. It's a pleasant ego confidence boost for me as an additional extra. But the reason that we started this was, one, to help raise the profile of females in leadership and to help other people in a similar position. And also to help generate business for Social Chain, because that's what pays the bills. And we wanted to share our knowledge and share a bit of what goes on here in order to get more clients. And it's working. So Dodds and I are going to talk you through a bit about how we have done Katie the brand, the strategies, and a bit about personal branding 101.
So this came about because we did a workshop with a group of people who wanted to know how and why to do personal branding. So we did this presentation, and now we're kind of going to just pick out the best bits of the presentation to give them to you. But essentially, for anybody who's wondering why they should work on their own personal brand, or they're like scared, you know, like Justin was, who was the winner of the mental competition.
Yes.
He was scared to do his own stuff.
Yeah. Hi, Justin.
This should hopefully, as Katie explained to him when they met the other week, the benefits. And although it does seem scary, it is worth it in the long run.
And then you get spotted in restaurants. Great. So shall we begin?
Absolutely.
I'm going to keep talking and getting Dodds to talk in this, because he is so important to the strategy of what we do, how we do it, the content we put out. So it wouldn't be right of me to take the credit and also the knowledge, because he's much more knowledgeable on this than I am. So first things first, what is a personal brand? Dodds, what's a personal brand?
So, as we said in this presentation, the big twist is that you already have a personal brand. Personal brand isn't just like a social thing. It's not having hundreds of thousands of followers. It's essentially you. It's essentially what people say about you when you leave the room. What is people's opinion of you? AKA your reputation. So like personal branding is essentially just like a buzzword for reputation. So yes, if you work on your personal brand and you get a bigger reputation, that's essentially what it is. To give you the marketing jargon, the definition of a personal brand is, a personal brand is the unique combination of skills, experience, and personality that you want the world to see. It is the telling of your story and how that then reflects in your conduct, content, behavior, values, and attitude. So it's essentially you. It's not just the posts you put on LinkedIn or social, it's everything about you.
So we spent a lot of time, didn't we, thinking about what my brand was going to be.
Yeah, I think probably last year when I was still working on Steve's personal brand, we probably spent July till November figuring that out.
Yeah.
And then we started the podcast in November. So it's not something you can just go day one. And it also, it's probably changed 3 times.
Yeah.
Since November.
Yeah. The thing for me that was, though, that we had, it was really authentic. And it came from a place where we could drive consistency, because it'd be something that I was interested in, rather than feeling like fueling the imposter in me that would make me feel like I would try and put it off. So that, like, knowing your own personal brand and knowing your own personality is a great starting point.
And one of the things when we first started is you were not confident and you didn't want to do any of these things, but you wanted to put out this message of imposter syndrome and da 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 da. And then there was a point where we were like, well, we'll actually use that as your strength. And we'll come out and we'll say, you don't feel comfortable doing this, but you're doing it to prove a point that if you're going to tackle these big issues, then you need to tackle them head on.
Yeah, and I think
confidence on camera being one of them.
And I think admitting that was the bit that made me feel more confident because we'd like addressed the elephant in the room that it wasn't going to be perfect.
I think you were worried that like Steve's so good at delivering on camera and like you see all these people preaching on their message and delivering it so well, and then it's unrealistic to expect that you're going to be like that on episode one of the podcast. And in fact, episode one of the podcast is riddled with mistakes.
So is episode 40.
And so will episode 200. And that's like your transparency is what makes you different to everybody else. Is more interesting. I mean, look at Lewis Capaldi. I know I always use him as an example.
Oh my God.
And in fact, I know I use him in this deck. I love him. Like, being true to yourself.
I'm obsessed.
And using that as your strength is good, not bad.
Yes. So we found that. Next is why. Why build a personal brand?
Why build a personal brand? So we said in this workshop that we did that it's good for personal development if you think you're always coming up with new ideas, researching. Because you're having to come up with content ideas, you're learning a lot more. You're getting better on camera, so you're getting more confident. You're doing public talks, so you're getting better at talking on stage. There's nothing about personal branding that doesn't develop you.
Yeah.
Personal branding, personal development go hand in hand, really. From a selfish point of view, that would be the main takeaway. But from a business point of view, you add weight and influence to your name. So influence is a really powerful commodity. Not everybody has influence, and if you can have influence in a business sense, then you become a very, very valuable member of your team. If you're an influencer, for example, or you want to be an influencer or work with brands and you grow your social presence, you'll get to a point where you don't even need the brands anymore because you'll have so much influence that you'll be able to sell your own products. And that would be as good as a brand, so you can take full control.
Which is like what Serena Williams has done.
Which is, yeah. So she works with Nike, but she also has her own brand called Serena. So she is bigger than, she's transcended tennis. So
So it's like leveraging your own personal brand.
The stuff that she sells under Serena is not sports stuff. So she works with Nike on the sports stuff and she does her own thing to do her own fashion line. If you don't want to be an influencer when you're working within a business, for Katie, for example, it opens up a lot of doors for you because if you have a room of one person listening to you compared to a room of 200,000 listening to you, it adds a lot of credibility to your name. Everybody's going to assume that what you're saying is right, and it probably will be right for you to have got that many people listening to you. So you open up a lot of doors for yourself, which is great for networking. So in Katie's example, she now gets invited to all these events where there's like important decision makers attending, or will do a video on LinkedIn that will get her a lot of new connections, and those connections are decision makers. Putting yourself in front of key people, which creates opportunity. And that's kind of why you would do a personal brand in a nutshell.
Why would you not do a personal brand?
Well, in the case of you, or the case of Justin, who is the mentor competition winner for Katie, they both found that personal branding, or putting yourself out there, creating content, doesn't come naturally because they were worried about what people would think about them. They didn't like. Yeah, they didn't like, but not as much.
Yeah, not as much.
And that will never go away, as we've talked about before. They didn't like recording themselves, just generally being in front of camera. They didn't want to look foolish. They didn't want to be like, they worried what their friends were going to say. The brilliant thing is, as I've mentioned earlier, is you actually can use that to your advantage. If you want to be more transparent, transparency leads to a bit more relatability, which leads to a stronger following because they feel what you're going through. Nobody feels confident on camera. Nobody likes getting up on stage at the beginning. So
I think that's a really important point though, is that you see people that get on stage and you think, oh my God, they do it so easily and why can't I? It's that everybody feels nervous before they do it.
Yeah.
And I think just knowing that you are not the only one that feels those nerves is incredibly important. to give you that oomph to get you out there.
Similar to the imposter syndrome, knowing that it's called imposter syndrome and that a lot of people suffer from it is like two of the main things in combating imposter syndrome. So in Katie's case, she found out that she had imposter syndrome, and we suggested that she should write an article about it and put it on LinkedIn, but she didn't want to because she didn't want to. Obviously, it's quite a vulnerable thing to do, especially for somebody so high up, but she did it. And to her surprise, it kind of went viral, got hundreds of comments from every level of business. That then made her discover her why, knowing that she'd put herself out there, made herself uncomfortable, had made a lot of other people feel better about themselves. Inspired Katie to create more. So we did more articles, and then that's obviously become this podcast, where Katie opens up all levels of what she, from business and personal. We've gone from you're talking about your dad's heart attack to what it's really like being an MD and managing people. We've talked about all aspects, and we found that that's helped internationally hundreds of, probably thousands of people.
We found the way to sort of make it feel comfortable in steps, didn't we? So I think, like, you don't, unless you want to throw yourself in at the deep end, you can make yourself feel more comfortable and work yourself up to get into the point of doing videos. I still don't like them.
So we did videos, didn't we? And then we dropped them because you didn't feel comfortable doing them. So then we did the podcast, and then 20 episodes later of the podcast, we started doing videos again. And now those videos are 10 times better.
Practice.
And now Katie is in a position where her opinion does have weight, and she's grown not a huge following, but a following, and there's big opportunities and doors being opened.
100%.
From a commercial point of view. But if you get to think, just for somebody, I'm trying to think of as if I'm talking to Justin, who this presentation is perfect for him because he wanted to do it because he was good for business, because he was a freelancer. But he just didn't feel comfortable about doing it. So Katie was in that exact position, and she's gone from somebody who didn't want to be on camera and refused to at the beginning to now having over 1 million views combined over a 6 month period. Didn't like doing public speaking. Now does two a month and goes on other people's podcasts, and these talks are in front of hundreds of people. She did this competition that Justin won for her to be a mentor. So 6 months ago, no offense, Katie, but nobody particularly knew who you were. To now having a competition that 250 plus people entered because they take your word as golden is obviously a clear statement of the progression that's been made. And she was nominated for the Female Role Model of the Year again, and obviously then there's commercial benefits for the business. So there's a handful of reasons why you should be doing your personal brand.
One thing that I do want to talk about, because it's something that I have had to battle with, but now I've come full circle with the help of Dodds, is how to deal with the haters. So obviously when I started putting my head above the parapet and started talking about things and work and life and my imposter syndrome definitely kicked in, and I was petrified of anyone that would write back anything negative because it looked like it was a reaction to me, and it made me not want to do it. And we worked on it, didn't we, for a bit. We had a few comments in the early stages that I got quite angry about and it took a lot of my energy. What we did realise, though, we did a video on Netflix and Bird Box and memes, and it got some negative comments. Nothing personal, though. More like negative, as in it caused a reaction. And that video did so well. And what we realised from that point is that haters are actually good, because we're getting people to react. And in doing so and creating content that's a little bit more controversial and gets people thinking and gets people responding to you, whether that's positively or negatively, we're getting people thinking about what we're talking about. So now we've changed our tack completely, and we purposely do one video a week at least that is a bit controversial in terms of gets people to think in different terms. And the benefits of that have massively helped us, hasn't it?
Yeah.
our exposure has increased because we've got more people talking about topics.
Absolutely. But as a sort of side note, is that they, you don't get like, people just say like, you get immune to haters after a while. Like, you don't.
No.
You definitely still read it and it annoys you. But there's so many comments that you kind of just run out of time to, and then we're on to the next video to remember them. But
I don't
you
have
still
the
like, click
time
on their profile and be like, who the hell is this?
Yeah. I don't have the time or the energy now.
Yeah.
So I would like you, Dodds, just to talk through our recipe for success, please.
Our recipe for success. So in the case of how do you tell your story, we kind of stick by a 3C recipes for success. The 3 C's are content, consistency, and collaboration. Those are the 3 things that will help you build your social proofing, which will lead to you networking with the right people, which will hopefully lead to the commercial success. So the content, we've talked about being authentic, and the only bit of advice you really need to know on content is transparency and value. People will only follow you if you're providing some sort of value. They follow influencers because that value is entertainment. They follow Katie because that value is knowledge and sort of inspiration. So just even if you waffle, and in the case that we do it quite a lot where we'll both waffle on and then we'll just cut out a lot of it to make sure that all it is value. So value. Then we have consistency. Yes, again, with the podcast is a great example. We grow every time we post once a week. And then if we don't post for 8 weeks and then we post again, the views go considerably down and then we're almost at starting point again. So every time you post, you grow 10 followers. It's just simple maths to keep posting. So that's obvious. And then in terms of growth, collaboration, if you can partner up with communities or other influencers that are in your space, your audience is already out there and they already follow people. So if you can collaborate and put yourself in front of those eyeballs, that's just a good growth hack. So they're sort of the 3 C's. In terms of time management, we're super efficient with all of those 3 things. So with the podcast, we used to try and do like a video, a podcast, an article, all at different times, but then we put it all into the podcast and we call the podcast like the mothership. And then we cut out different bits, whether that be bits for Instagram, bits for LinkedIn, bits for LinkedIn articles, Twitter, etc., etc. Just making sure you're really efficient with your time, because if it's like a huge task, it'll become too difficult and you'll just stop, which is a problem that we faced, didn't we? Because at the very beginning with time management. And that's kind of it, really. I mean, we could talk about it for ages, but
I have got a meeting. But thank you for going through that. I think it's important for people to know that we don't just come into the podcast studio and ramble
on. That's the method behind the madness anyway.
Yeah, and a lot of planning that goes into it. So thanks to you. Thanks to you. That nicely rounds off our podcast for this week. Let us know what your why is, why you're going to do your personal branding if you've decided to do it, and how you get on. We want to see how your personal brand progresses if you're using those 3 C's. So keep in touch. Also send your admission submissions in and leave us a little review. Give us 5 stars. We're still doing well on our 5-star reviews. And I want to thank you so much for listening. I hope you found real value in this week's podcast, and we will see you next week.